Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the earnings call for the quarter and 9 months ending 31st December 2025 for Star Cement Limited, hosted by PhillipCapital India Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vaibhav Agarwal from PhillipCapital India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you, Rio. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, we welcome you to the Q3 and 9 months FY26 call of Star Cement Limited. On the call, we have with us Mr. Tushar Bhajanka, Deputy Managing Director, and Mr. Manoj Agarwal, Chief Finance Officer at Star Cement Limited. I would like to mention on behalf of Star Cement Limited and this management that certain statements that may be made or discussed on today's conference call may include forward-looking statements related to future performance and anticipated company developments by its management. Such statements stated on today's call would be based on Star Cement's current management expectations. These statements are subject to a number of risks, uncertainties, and other important factors which may cause the actual developments and results to differ materially from the statements made. Star Cement Limited and the management of the company assumes no obligation to publicly update or alter these forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information or future events or otherwise. I will now hand over the floor to the management of Star Cement for their opening remarks, which will be followed by an interactive question and answer session. Thank you, and over to you, Tushar.
Yeah. Hi, good afternoon all. My name is Tushar Bhajanka and I'm the Deputy MD of Star Cement. I welcome you all to the conference call of FY26 Quarter 3. I'd like our CFO, Manoji, to give his remarks regarding the numbers, and then we can start with the Q&A.
Yeah. Hi friends, very good afternoon. I, on behalf of Star Cement Limited, welcome you all to our phone call for discussing our number for Q3 FY26 and 9 months ended December 25. Starting from clinker production, during the quarter ended December 25, we have produced 8.94 lakh ton of clinker as against 6.42 lakh ton same quarter last year. So far as cement production is concerned, we have produced 12.57 lakh ton this quarter as against 10.82 lakh ton same quarter last year. Now I will take you through the sales volume. During the quarter, we have sold 12.31 lakh ton of cement and 0.65 lakh ton of clinker. And as against 10.61 lakh ton of cement and 0.07 lakh ton of clinker in the same period last year. This is as far as cement and clinker sale is concerned. As far as geographical distribution is concerned, in Northeast we have sold around 9.36 lakh ton as against 8.37 lakh ton during same quarter last year. As far as outside Northeast is concerned, we have sold 2.95 lakh ton of cement this quarter as against 2.24 lakh ton same quarter last year. In terms of blend mix, it is 18% of OPC and rest is PPC. These are the quantitative numbers of the quarter. Now I will take you through the financial. The total revenue figure this quarter is around 880 crore as against 719 crore same period last year. As far as EBITDA figure is concerned, this quarter we have done an EBITDA excluding of exceptional item of 5.52 crore. It is around 207 crore as against 107 crore last year. PAT is 74 crore as against 9 crore in the same period last year. On the per ton EBITDA front, it is 1600 during this quarter as against 1000 per ton same quarter last year. This is what our quarterly numbers of the third quarter. The total revenue figure for the 9 months ended December 25 is around 2603 crore as against 2111 crore same period last year. As far as EBITDA figure is concerned, during 9 months ended December 25, we have done an EBITDA of around 631 crore as against 321 crore last year. Profit after tax is 243 crore as against 46 crore in the same period last year. On per ton EBITDA front, it is 1677 during this 9 months as against 1005 per ton same period last year. These are the our quarterly and 9 month ended numbers. Now I will request everyone, if you have any questions, then please you can ask the same, and I will request Vaibhav to moderate the same whenever it's required. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask questions, please press star and one. The first question is from Harsh Mittal from MK Global Financial Services. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening. So, first,
Harsh, we can barely hear you. Request you to speak a little louder.
Hello.
Yeah, hi. We can hear you, but if you can be clearer, please.
Okay. So, good evening, team. So, I have two set of questions. The first question is that there is one unfortunate event happened in the Yamanangso district due to a coal mining blast. So, do we have any domino effect on our operations? This is my first question.
So, I think your question is regarding the Meghalaya mining blast and the situation of illegal coal mining in Meghalaya, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so we have no relation to that incident, you know, because our coal is not coming from Meghalaya. So, you know, so, I mean, it's unfortunate, but we have no, you know, information about it.
Okay. So, second question is that our volume guidance was 5.4 million tons for this year, and given that we have achieved a 21% growth in quarter three, so can we see any upward revision to this guidance?
You know, we can't hear you clearly. You know, I think we can't understand the question even. So, if it's possible for you to be a bit clearer, then I think it will be easier for us to answer.
Hello?
Hello? Yeah.
Mr. Harsh, if you're on a hands-free, request you to use the handset.
I'm on handset only. Hello.
Okay, yeah. Just try to repeat the question once. I'll try to understand that.
So, sir, my question was that our earlier volume guidance was around 5.4 million tons, and given that we have achieved 21% growth in quarter three, do we see any upward revision to this guidance?
No, we don't. So, you know, I think we will be trying to do about that or probably 5.3. You know, so I don't think there is any upward revision on that guidance for quarter four. I think we'll be broadly growing at about the same pace in quarter four as well.
Sure, sir. So, freight cost, there has been inflation in freight cost per ton, which is up 13% YOY and 6% sequentially. So, any specific reason for this flare up, and can we assume this as a steady state guidance going ahead?
So, Hans, there is a slight, because December quarter and March quarter is a natural cycle, there is a slight increase over the second quarter. Because second quarter is a lot of oxygen period. So, there is a hardly that is a 60-70 rupees per ton increase. That is a normal thing. It happens in every quarter if you compare it from the Q2 vis-a-vis Q3 and then Q3 vis-a-vis Q4. That is normal. And there is a certain, because the transport destruction was there in the middle, maybe October end and November first week. So that is why we have to move the material through rake. So handling cost has gone up. So that is why that was a one-off cost. But normal 60-70 rupees increase was there. This is cyclical in nature, and every quarter 2-3 it keep on happening.
Okay, so can you assume 60 rupees one-off in freight cost for this quarter, and that will reverse in next quarter? Is it a safer assumption?
Actually, in October, we had a strike. The strike had lasted, you know, it was a strike in Meghalaya, which restricted the movement of clinkers. So we had to use rakes to send clinker to our grinding unit. that had increased our logistics cost, and that is why you see an abnormal hike in our logistics cost compared to last quarter or YOY, which I don't think you would see from quarter four when you compare quarter four to last year's quarter.
Last question, what will be our depreciation guidance for FY27? If you can help me with that number.
30 crore depreciation? Yeah, depreciation will remain the same. You 30 crore a month, 90 crore per quarter. That will be same or more or less the same.
Sir, depreciation I'm asking.
Yeah, I'll ask you about depreciation only.
Depreciation right now is about 30 crores per month for us. You know, okay. So, and that will remain the same because we are also commissioning Silchar plant, you know, this month. So I know the depreciation will start showcasing itself in the next year. So whatever depreciation should have reduced will be neutralized by the fact that there is another plant coming up and the depreciation of that plant will also.
Thank you. These were my questions. Thank you. This was really helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Naveen Sahadev from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. So congratulations on a good set of numbers.
No, thank you.
If you could just... I had a couple of questions. I'll start with the incentive income that you have booked in this quarter, please.
Yeah, so the incentive income that we booked this quarter is about 33 crores. If you compare this number to, you know, last year same quarter, then last year same quarter was 43 crores. And if you compare it to Q2 of FY26, then it was about 56 crores. So our subsidy income has fallen, you know, from a 43 crores YOY to a 33 crores, which is a 28% drop in the subsidy income.
So on subsidy, my follow-up question was that at roughly 1.3 million or nearly, you know, 13 lakhs of volumes, 12.3 as you said in cement, at this volume run rate, is this the subsidy to continue or... Because you said Silchar is just about to get commissioned, I think you just mentioned a while back. Silchar is about to get commissioned. So this subsidy amount can go up once the volumes from Silchar start coming up. How should one look at the run rate for the subsidy amount?
Yeah, so I think the run rate for the subsidy that we are experiencing in quarter three, you know, is a result of the reduction in GST from 28% to 18%. Which of course then reduces the overall subsidy amount which we were getting. So that's why there's a drop. And the question regarding Silchar, so when Silchar gets commissioned, first it will use the input GST from the project, right? So that will take at least 7-8 months to fully utilize. And after we utilize the GST input credit, that's when we will start utilizing the subsidy. So that will, so we can see the benefit of having Silchar from quarter four onwards next year in terms of subsidy.
Understood. Sir, my second question then was on your realization. So net of, on sorry, exclude the incentives, the cement realizations for us have seemed to gone up sequentially by a little under 2%. My question was, because East as a region, I know yours is Northeast, but still 25% of the volume, as I understand, probably we sell it in areas out of Northeast, which is largely the Eastern region. So if our channel checks were correct, and other companies also indicated the same, that non-trade prices and even trade prices had taken significant hit in the Eastern region, I wanted to understand how did we manage a 2% increase in a tough environment. I mean, congratulations on that, but just wanted to understand how did we manage to get an increase when most of the players are reporting a decline.
So, you know, I mean, the information that I have, you know, from for Bihar and West Bengal, the you know, YOY, the prices in Bihar have risen a bit for us, but the prices in West Bengal have fallen, Right. So that is the observation. So for us, you know, outside Northeast, which is basically Bengal and Bihar, has been quite neutral YOY FY26 compared to FY26 Q3 compared to last year Q3. And in Northeast, we have seen an increase in the price of about 20 rupees compared to last year same quarter. So I think our weighted average realization has improved mainly because of Northeast. You know, in East, we have been broadly neutral. You know, if we average out the price increase in Bihar with the price drop in West Bengal, it's basically neutral. So that is how we can see that there is a 2% increase in realization.
Understood. And just to conclude, since the prices or realizations are benefited by the price increase we could take in Northeast, are those hikes holding firm so far in January, Feb? Or there has been a further improvement, any color will be helpful.
Yes, so fair enough. So I think the prices, you know, are holding up in at least Northeast, you know, from December onwards. So we do see that the prices are maintained. So what we exited December months from, the prices have continued to be stable from there. Bihar and West Bengal, I think there is an, you know, I think we have tried to take an attempt of 10 rupees, but the 10 rupees entirely is not necessarily going to show in the quarter four for Bihar and Bengal.
No, I understood, but for Northeast, I was only confirming. Because very recently we also saw Dalmia's big kiln getting commissioned. So how does that impact on the regional pricing, if at all? Are you seeing, or how should one see now with the major capacity coming up? How should one look at Northeast pricing in general for the next, let's say, 1 year or so?
Well, I see the pricing to be stable, right? So I don't think there's any problem because of the increase in supply in the pricing. I do see that the pricing, even after Dalmia's kiln has come to operation, has broadly been stable. So so I don't see a price problem for the coming year as well.
Thank you, sir. I have more questions. I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Am I audible?
Yes, but if you can just speak a bit loudly, that will be very helpful.
Sure. Yes, please. Yeah, this is question.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So, just on this,
we are not able to hear you properly, sorry.
Mr. Rajesh, if you're using a hands-free, request you to use the handset. We seem to have lost the line for Mr. Rajesh. We'll move to the next question. The next question is from Shivashish Kaushik from IFM Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
My question is basically to check with you, what is the, you know, composition of non-trade and trade in your total volume? Plus, I also want to know that what is the non-trade, even there is a marginal hike in the price, whether that has been absorbed properly, and what is the view in February, because there is a lot of noises which is there that there is going to be 10 to 50 rupees further rise in the price. So we just want to know your view on that.
Okay, so non-trade in quarter three, we had sold 22% of our overall volume. So this has increased compared to last year same quarter, which was 19%. So we have, our overall non-trade mix has increased from 19% to 22% over this 1 year. Your second question was regarding the price hike, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have not heard any news of price hike as of now. I don't think we have any plans of taking a price hike in Northeast, but to maintain the current prices which have already been increased. So I don't think there is a hike happening of 10-15 rupees in Northeast at least.
Another thing which I want to know is, what is the price differential with North or Central, with Northeast in terms of per bag?
That is, I can tell you the per bag cost in Northeast, but I do not know what is the price in Central and West and East, in Central and North, because we're not present there. So the per bag price in Northeast is about 453 rupees, but you'll have to probably verify the prices in North and Central as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one. Next question is from Mr. Rajesh Ravi from HDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, am I audible now?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Sir, I was alluding to this, this incident which has happened in Northeast, mentioned in your earlier question. So overall, Northeast as a dynamic in terms of coal supply, do you see this corrective and stringent measure now, which would be taken by the government and courts, any implications on coal availability in our region?
So, are you talking about coal availability in Northeast and?
Yeah, Northeast coal availability and overall coal prices going up.
Because of what?
Because of this gradual mining, crackdown on the illegal mining.
No, I don't think, our coal supply is really linked to the Meghalaya coal, illegal coal, right? So I don't think there will be a big impact of that. Most of our coal is locked in the form of FSA from Coal India, right? And the others are spot contracts that we take from Coal India and a little bit of biomass, right? So I don't think we are really impacted by that at all.
What we understand earlier that a good chunk of coal moves out of Meghalaya into India in parts.
We hear you. I'm not able to clearly hear your question, so I'm not able to answer.
Mr. Rajesh, your voice is breaking. If you're requesting.
Is it better now?
Yeah, it is better now, but then it goes in the middle.
Yeah.
You can
I hope I'm.
Try to ask a question, and then we can.
Sure, sir. Okay, this is one. And second, also on the freight cost, we see that there has been an upward revision or rationalization on the upward side on Meghalaya truckers' freight cost. So what sort of impact this would have on your numbers in subsequent quarter?
I don't think the freight cost has really been revised for Meghalaya truckers as such, and I don't see that we're having a material impact on the freight cost going forward. I think the reason why the freight had increased in quarter three is mainly because of the strike which had happened in October, right, with L1 deviation. And that is why the freight cost in October had increased, and that's what you see in the results. But I don't see that you'll see a material impact of that going forward in quarter four.
Okay. So further discussion for the.
We really can't hear you. Now you're like fully cracking.
Well, come.
Rajesh, there might be a problem issue with your.
Yeah. I'll come back in queue. I'll come back in queue.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Kamlesh Bagmar from Lotus Asset Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, Tushar. And thanks for the opportunity. Tushar, can you please give some insight into the next phase of expansion? Because we were looking to expand capacities or enter the markets of Central and North markets. So can you please briefly touch upon that?
Yes. So, thank you for the question. So we are actually, firm on a plan to enter Rajasthan. We have gotten mines in Nimbol next to Jodhpur district. And we have been securing land there, and we plan to apply for our EC and get our EC by September, October, and then start construction of about 3 million tons of clinker, along with 3 million tons of grinding, and subsequently put 2 million tons of grinding in Haryana, which will be fed by the clinker plant in Nimbol. So that is our next plan, which is to enter Rajasthan.
Okay. And apart from that, are we looking into the central region as well, or so far sticking only to the north market?
Yeah, we are sticking to the north market because we believe that, if we focus on one market, which is north, and it's quite a big market, right? So I think we will be able to probably position ourselves better in terms of brand and also focus in, deeper penetration of the market. So that is the first phase of expansion in north that we planned, which we plan to start executing from quarter three of this year onward, of next year onward. So end of calendar year, basically. And then I think, so that is the plan. And besides this, we plan to put up a 2 million ton grinding unit in Bihar, which I think the timeline of which we can discuss in the next call, because we are in the phase of acquiring land for that. So our plan, for the next 2-3 years is basically to put up a 5 million ton grinding backed by clinker in north, and about 2 million tons of grinding in Bihar. And along with this, we have also applied for the EC in Umrangso in Assam for another clinker plant, which we again will get from September this year. So then we can also start laying the foundations and doing the basic civil work for our next clinker plant in Assam.
Okay. So, is it fair to assume that by Q3 of FY 2027 or Q4 of FY 2026, we would be ready with, we would be having the orders placed for all these equipments which we have talked about, or the capacities which we have talked about?
Yes. I think by Q3 of FY 2027, we will be in a position where we have ordered the machineries, and we've also started some work on ground in building up the plant. I think machines should be probably in Q2, Q3, around that time. We should be placing orders for machine as well. So we are, now a bit clearer about, our plans of Rajasthan.
Okay. Great. And lastly, what percentage of land you have acquired for Rajasthan and Haryana units?
So in Rajasthan unit, we have broadly done a sale agreement right now, and the entire land will be, probably transferred to us in the coming month, a month and a half. And we've already applied for the EC on the land that we have gotten a sale agreement. And for Haryana, we have identified the plot that we are looking at, and we will start acquiring the land. But the land in Haryana is a bit aggregated, so I don't think once we've decided to buy the land, then I don't think it's going to take much time. So the EC process is basically running parallel to the land acquisition process, and that's how we are progressing, and that's how we are sure by September or October this year, we will be able to start something on ground.
What would be the mode of financing? Like, so how much debt equity we would be looking at, or the equity raised through the QIP or that source of funding?
So, ideally, we'd want to keep our debt equity ratio less than 1.5 times the EBITDA. Sorry, debt EBITDA ratio to be less than 1.5 times EBITDA. And so I think that is what we're targeting, and then we will make sure that whenever we are reached in the threshold or before that, we will do a QIP to fill in the gap, right? So that is something that we will also share in our presentation, investor presentation, which is on it.
Okay, great. And thanks for answering the question.
No, thank you.
Thank you. Participants who wish to ask questions, please press star and one to join the question queue. The next question is from Uttam Kumar Srimal from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. Good afternoon and congratulations on good set of numbers. How much capex we have incurred in first 9 months, and how much we are going to incur in fourth quarter and in FY27?
Okay, so YTD we have till now incurred about 431 crores of capex, and in quarter four we plan to incur about 150 crores of capex.
Okay, and in FY 27?
FY 27, you know, we'll have to probably, you know, plan it a bit and get back, because we're still, you know, figuring out our plans in Rajasthan when we start our construction. So accordingly, we'll have to revise the numbers and probably get back to you on that.
Okay. And sir, with regard to premium cement, what was the share of premium cement out of the trade sales during this quarter?
So we sold about 17.1% of our trade sales was premium sales. This number has increased from 13.1 last year. Sorry, 12 last year. So it has jumped from 12% to 17.1% in that 1 year.
Okay, that should have also helped you in getting more realization, because the percentage has improved from 13 to 18%.
Yeah, 12 to 17%. Yes.
Good. Okay. And sir, what is the current status of AAC block? How much revenue we have generated this quarter? Because it got a commission last quarter.
Yes. So we have sold 61,500 CBM of AAC. The corresponding revenue is about 25 crores, and quarter three we have generated about 13 crores from AAC, because still in ramp up. I think the plant is going to take some time to stabilize, and we have utilized the plant at about 45% utilization in the second quarter of its commissioning.
Okay, and so what would be the maximum revenue that we can generate from AC block when it gets into full utilization?
I think we can generate a revenue of about 90 to 100 crores if we utilize it fully.
Okay, and sir, a couple of data points. Trade lead distance during the quarter.
Yeah. So the lead distance was 212.
Okay, it has come down. It was around 230 kilometer last time. 220 kilometer, I think.
Yeah, it was 220 kilometer, and now it's come down to 212. Yes.
And sir, fuel mix this quarter?
Fuel mix, 78.8% was from FSA.
Okay.
And about 15% was from biomass. And another 5% was from spot.
And sir, per kcal cost was?
1.2.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side, and all the best.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. To ask questions, please press star and one. The next question is from Shravan Shah from Dabalat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you, sir. Sir, just to recheck in terms of the total capex for Bihar, Rajasthan, and the 3 million ton clinker at Umrang Show with a 2 million ton grinding in Jorhat.
I'm sorry, can you please repeat that?
I'm saying the total capex, if you can split Bihar, last time you said 500 crore, Rajasthan, because now it seems of 5 million ton. So last time we said 2,300 to 2,500 odd crore. And for Jorhat, Umrangso, 3 million ton clinker and 2 million ton grinding at Jorhat, what would be the total capex?
Yeah, so right now, you know, the plan that we have in mind is to, you know, in the next 3 years or 4 years, our plan is to put up a Bihar grinding unit in the next 2 years, Nimbol and Haryana plant. Nimbol is in Rajasthan, the clinker plant in Nimbol, and a grinding unit in Haryana. And sequentially start working on our grinding unit in, or our clinker plant in Umrangso. So the overall capex for these four projects is about 4,800 crores.
And broadly, this all should be commissioning in 1H FY29 or second half of FY29?
I think towards the second half of FY29 or beginning of FY30, these all plants should be commissioning. Of course, the they all will not commission together. Some will commission before, and probably you know, Umrangso may commission about FY29.
Okay, so Umrangso will commission in FY29, and Bihar and Rajasthan will be in the okay, but that also you said it would be in the second half. So almost everything will be in a 3 or 6 months. Everything will be commissioned in FY29.
Yeah, FY29 probably. Yeah, so I think the exact timeline, you know, we will be probably putting it in the presentation. So I think it will just be a bit clearer for everyone. But of course, the grinding units take less time to commission, and you know, in Nimbol we are at a decent position. I think in September to start construction, so the Nimbol Rajasthan plant will start sooner than the Umrangso plant.
Okay, got it. So the Rajasthan plant is also dependent on the QIP, or we will start, and as you said, once the net debt equity, net debt EBITDA is reaching to 1.5 times, and we will then do the QIP 1500 odd crore that we have talked last time.
I think we are, you know, going ahead with the plan irrespective, you know, and whenever we do get the right time to do the QIP or rights issue or any other instrument, we will do it. But we are not stopping any plans for the fundraise.
Okay. But broadly, if one has to split this 4,800 crore into FY27, 28, 29, is it fair that FY27 would be 1,008 odd crore and FY28 would be a 2,000 to 2,500 crore, and FY29 would be the balance? That's the way one can look at?
I think we'll have to really, we'll also have to plan it in a piece of paper and then share it. You know, I don't think I can just say it like that.
Okay, got it. And sir, this till now, the in terms of the volume, you as you highlighted that in the fourth quarter also we will see the similar kind of run rate in terms of growth. But for FY27 and 28, how one can look at, because now all this extra new capacity will be coming in FY29. So ideally, the volume should be coming in FY30 in a full way. So how one can look at the volume for at least 27, 28?
So, I mean, the coming year, I think the volume growth would be similar to the volume growth that we experienced in FY26. So, I don't see the FY27 to be very different to FY26. And, you know, the volume growth of 28 would be hard to predict right now.
Okay, got it. And then, obviously, as you are saying, that the prices are kind of stable, so profitability should be similar what we are right now having, the 650,
yeah.
1650 to 1700.
Yes, should be broadly maintained.
Yeah, and lastly, sir, all put together, AAC block and other non-cement revenue, till now in FY26, 9 months, how much we would have done and how much would be the EBITDA margin on that, and for next year, how one can look at that?
So from non-cement revenue.
It will be around 25 crore. Okay. We are expecting to be around 45 crore this year. And this year because of first year depreciation, everything because of first year of operation and it has been, so maybe we have no profit, no loss kind of thing this year. And next year what we are for full the 20% EBITDA margin should be minimum there from that business.
And in terms of the revenue, so this year you are saying that a total 45 crore.
Yeah, so what we expect is that 45 crore this year would be coming from the non-cement businesses, and next year we expect about 100 crores coming from this business.
Okay. Got it. And the current KKL cost 1.2 should be stable for next one or two quarters. I hope we should be having a 2-3-4 months inventory.
Yeah, I mean we have about 2.8 lakh tons of coal, so that is good enough for at least 4 months. So and that is broadly at the same rate as 1.2. So I think we should be fine.
And sir, on green, sir, the 50 megawatt solar that we were looking at in Assam, so when it is going to start?
So the 50 megawatt that we are looking at Assam, we are still in discussion, I think, with some regulatory change. And so we may consider, because now we are thinking of Rajasthan and the generation of power in Rajasthan is higher, we may decide to put it up in Rajasthan. So, you know, we'll have to probably get back to you in the next investor call on that.
Okay. Thank you and all the best and congratulations on good set of numbers for this quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a final reminder to participants that you may press star and one to join the question queue. No further reminders will be announced. We take the next question from Naveen Sadev from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the follow-up opportunity. Just a couple of clarifications. So in terms of your CAPEX priorities, is it fair to assume that number one will be the Bihar grinding unit, followed by a greenfield project in Nimbol, and thereafter Umrangshu? Is that the correct sequence?
So, I mean, in terms of priority, I think we are, you know, it's a good question. I also haven't put it like that, but I think in terms of priority, you know, I think it really is to move all the four projects that I mentioned together as fast as we can, because they are at different stages of completion, right? I mean, from a EC perspective and from a groundbreaking perspective. But the idea is to definitely do the Bihar project and Nimbol project. You know, the Nimbol Rajasthan project will of course give us a growth in revenue and create a diversification platform in terms of the, you know, in terms of the EBITDAs and the revenue. And the Bihar project would help us utilize our Northeast capacities better. So from that perspective, these two things are in priority. At the same time, you know, Umrangshu is not an easy terrain to work, so we just want to make sure that we start early so that we are able to commission the plant by the time we need the clinker, which we expect to be about FY29. So I think from, like, they all are equally important and they all have different aspects of business which they are solving for us. You know, Rajasthan is more from a diversification story, and Umrangshu is more from just making sure that we are able to grow in our home market.
Great. Just to again clarification, Nimbol is a 3 million ton clinker unit, correct? And 5 million ton grinding cement.
Yes.
Of this 3 million ton clinker, clinker of course is at Nimbol, but a grinding unit will be at Nimbol only 3 million ton, and Haryana is 2 million ton, which is what we are trying. Is that breakup broadly correct? Okay. For this type. Right. So for this entire 5 million ton plant, what is the broad CapEx that we have finalized so far, and then how should one look at the cost, or you would rather give it at a later stage?
So I think the cost that we have, and that may change, and so, you know, so I think the broad cost that we have taken out is about 2,500 for the clinker plant and the integrated grinding unit along with the grinding unit in Haryana. But that estimate may be a bit premature and may have a 10% deviation up or down. So that with that flexibility, you can take that number.
Yeah, no, and the reason I'm asking is because at 2,500, you know, ballpark, at a 5 million ton, that cost comes to more like $55 for a greenfield project. You know, peers have not really, you know, delivered it at such low cost, and that's my question. If one could, 2,500 is a realistic number, or it is more closer to 3,000 crore is what I wanted to get a sense of.
I feel that this number is realistic, you know, because we have just put up a kiln of about that size right now, and we were able to put it up in about 1200 crores. So even if I take the greenfield cost, and even if I take the cost of integrated grinding unit, I think we should be able to manage in that much, but I'll again do the working and then probably, you know, can give you a further clarification in the next call.
Sure. And from a timeline point of view, it's Q3 this year. I mean, let's say by December of 26, we place all the orders. So we should be targeting commissioning, you said, in 1.5 years thereafter. Is that what you said? By end of FY20. 8 or early FY29, how should one look at it?
We will start a commissioning by Q3 of this year, of the next year, which is December around of this calendar year. And I think from there it will take about 18 to 22 months. So if we calculate, then that will be basically around September of FY28. Sorry, of 28. Yeah. FY28. Yeah. So that is what we are thinking, because it will take at least 18 months from when we start the groundbreaking.
Understood. My last question, sir. So for the full year this year, the volume guidance, in the first question that you answered, did you say our volume guidance for this year remains intact at 5.3 million tons for 26?
Yes, I think about 5.3 million tons remains intact, and it also has clinker.
The reason why I asked is because 5.3 will imply flat volume year on year in Q4. So that's where I was checking. Are we saying that Q4 will see flattish kind of volumes year on year, or to see some?
Yeah, no, I think there is some confusion, because I think the number that we're talking about probably, you know, so I'll have to get some clarity about it, because I think they've also included the clinker sales volumes in it, right? But what I can say about Q4 is that we'll see a 10% to 12% growth in Q4 as well, YOY. So in terms of cement volumes, the cement volume will be going out about 8 to 10% in Q4 as well. So, and the numbers, you know, the right estimate of Q4, you know, in terms of the absolute number for the entire year, I will probably be able to write that down in the presentation that we put up online.
We'll certainly look forward to your presentation, sir, and thank you for answering all the questions. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
The next question is from Uttam Kumar Srimal from Axis Securities. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir. My question pertains to Silchar unit. Since the Silchar unit will get commissioned this quarter, Silchar is basically also nearest to Bangladesh also. So we are also thinking of exporting cement to Bangladesh.
No, right now we are not considering that because I think the transportation to Bangladesh is a bit tricky. You know, there is no direct road which connects Bangladesh and Silchar side, and normally in rainy season barges are used to transport, and that is also not perennial, the rivers. So we are not right now planning to sell in Bangladesh from Silchar. And also Bangladesh has a custom duty on cement, which is almost almost like 2,000 rupees per ton of custom. So, I mean, there's no economic sense of sending cement to Bangladesh anywhere.
Okay. Then, sir, what was the capacity utilization or Siliguri plant this quarter?
This quarter, our utilization of HU is about 60%. And I think we'll be able to utilize our plant in Q4 at about 70% to 75%.
Okay, sir. That's all from my side. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Milind Raginwar from BOB Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for this opportunity. Just confirm, Silchar GU, we are expecting by... what would be the timeline for Silchar and Jorhat, the revised one?
So the timeline for Silchar is this month. I think by end of this month we will be commissioning our plant. So between 20th to 27th is when we think of commissioning the plant. And Jorhat would be, I think we have deferred Jorhat and we have preferred to put in Bihar rather than Jorhat. So Jorhat may come along with the clinker plant in Umrangshu.
So as of now, Jorhat remains replaced by Bihar.
Yeah.
So there is no GU now in Jorhat, right?
No. So there will be a GU which will come along with the Umrangshu plant, but not right now. It will take about 3 years, 3.5 years, because right now Silchar capacity coming up, I think we'll have sufficient capacity in Northeast to serve Northeast market.
Okay, so in that case, we will have 9.6 long capacity in Northeast on the GU side. Including GU, that is a total cement capacity. Is that in fair assumption?
Yeah, so we'll be 9.7. 2 in Siliguri and 7.7 in Northeast.
Correct, and this will be backed by about 6.1 million ton of clinker.
Yeah.
Total of... Yeah.
Yeah. So this is broadly in broadly clinker backed this capacity.
Oh, and so then the Bihar GU we will be backing by the existing clinker only, or it will only come after the Umrangshu plant.
So we will be putting up the Bihar plant before Umrangshu, also because it will take lesser time than Umrangshu, and it will help us serve. Utilize the clinkers of the existing units faster, and with Umrangshu we will be putting the Jorhat plant.
Okay, so till that time Bihar will be fed by Meghalaya clinker unit. Is that a fair assumption?
Yeah. Yes, and that will also help us utilize it faster.
Okay, that is it for my piece. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We have one last question. We take the last question from Shravan Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Sir, this clinker cell, whatever we are selling, 5-6% of the total volume, so this will continue for even next year also?
We do expect that clinker, that whatever we sold in quarter 3, that kind of a volume to be sold every quarter.
Okay. So currently, if I look at 9 months, our CC ratio broadly is 1.32, versus normally we have closer to 1.5. It is that in the fourth quarter we will catch up, and on a full year basis, the broadly 1.5 CC ratio that remains.
Yeah, I think right now our clinker ratio is about 67.5%, which is, I mean, if I convert in the waste one divided by 67.5.
1.48.
1.48. So it's coming to be about 1.48 only.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Not 1.5.
Okay. And in for third quarter, broadly, if we have to look at northeast versus east for us, in terms of profitability, still it would be the east would be 500-600 rupees. That's the number which we used to have, the similar still is there?
Yeah, I think the EBITDA per ton that we earn in east is about 600-700 rupees. And I think with some price betterment, I think it can reach to about 800 rupees.
Okay, got it. But post the Rajasthan expansion, so if you can, that is difficult to predict right now, but still directionally, till what level are we comfortable? Obviously, because Rajasthan, once if the volume will start, the EBITDA per ton definitely will not be as northeast. But
Yeah.
Roughly, are we looking at kind of a 800-900? That's the kind of a profitability per ton that we are looking for the Rajasthan?
Yeah, so I think our modeling in the steady state expects it to be more than 1,000, because it also depends on how you, where you put up your plants and how efficient your plants are. So our expectation in the long run is about 1,000, and stable low. So initially, of course, the EBITDA will be low because we'll be ramping up and spending on branding as well. So the EBITDA per ton in Rajasthan will be lower because of that.
And there also we will be having a incentive in Rajasthan also.
Yes, we will be having an incentive, a capital subsidy incentive as per the policy of the Rajasthan government.
Which would be roughly on an annual basis or per ton, and any broad idea?
That we are happy to. It is about 23% of the effects as a capital subsidy. So it's not a GST, it's a capital subsidy, yeah.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have one last question in queue. It's from Siddharth Mehrotra from Kotak Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. So just wanted to sort of get your views on the upcoming capacity expansion in North. So, I mean, I was just looking at the numbers. If we add in your 5 MTPA expansion as well, I'm looking at almost a 50-55 MTPA expansion in just the North region. So, I mean, are we sort of going to see a very aggressive supply situation in that geography? And if yes, how are we going to counter the incumbents already who have a legacy system there? So that's sort of, just wanted to get your broad thoughts on that, sir.
Yeah. So I think the northern markets, I think, over time have basically broadly maintained a decent utilization, right? So I understand that there are two, three companies like JSW, Dalmia, and other companies which are entering north now, and that may lead to excess capacity. But I think the tendency of north has been, north has generally had more decorum than other areas in the mainland India, right? So I think, and our strategy is quite simple. We're not entering with a very large capacity. Actually, we have an integrated plant of 3 million, and shortly after we commission that, we'll be commissioning a grinding unit in Haryana, right? So the capacity that we enter is not huge, and what we would target to do is to maintain and to create a brand, like how we have created our brand in Northeast, and we sell higher than any other brand in Northeast, despite being the highest volume player. in Northeast. We would want the same kind of a branding and patience in terms of marketing in North as well. So that is how we plan to go about it. And you know, I mean, yeah, and just make sure that we are able to position ourselves through branding and technical services and other things at a good price band compared to our competitors.
Understood, sir. So we definitely will not be compromising our margins just to sell volumes in that geography, if that understanding is correct, right, sir?
Yes, I think more important, like especially if you're entering a new area, it is more important. I mean, it is of course tempting to sell more volumes, but it comes at the cost of putting yourself at a lower price band, right? So we'll have to make sure and have the patience and the willpower to create a brand in the long run. And discounting and selling and just trying to get done with the volume is not the answer to that.
Got it, sir. And just one last question if I can squeeze in. Sir, what is the cost of our limestone in the northern region, sir? Are they legacy mines? Are they newer mines?
So, you know, so that I think we have an auction mine. You know, the average premium of the auction mine is about 57%. This is for Nimbol. But we are also looking at legacy mines. So we are confident that we will probably be able to lock one or two legacy mines. If we do that, then of course our cost for the initial 10 years will be 0% auction price because they are legacy mines. So I think that is what we are trying to do. I think by the next call, I will have better clarity and probably we would have locked the mine and then I think I can talk more about it.
Great, sir. That would be good to know. Thanks a lot for your time, sir. Best of luck. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was the last question in queue. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vaibhav Agarwal from PhillipCapital India Private Limited for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you, Tushar. I just had a couple of questions. First thing is, were there any one-offs in the cost apart from the freight in the Q3?
Yeah, Pajan, what you are saying, Vaibhav?
Were there any one-offs in the cost items in Q3 apart from...
5 crore donation is there. Okay, there will be a one-off cost is there.
Okay, and this donation is to any political party or like what? Hello? So your voice is cracking.
It's a political donation, yes.
Okay, and apart from that, there's no other one-off, right?
No.
Okay, and the second thing was, I just wanted to know that Tusharji mentioned on the call about 1,000 rupees steady state EBITDA guidance in North operations. So, Tusharji, when I met you, we had discussed that you had kind of highlighted that 1,300 to 1,500 would be your sustainable EBITDA even after your expansions. That is your forecast then. So, this 1,000 rupees you are mentioning as on date or you are mentioning as once you enter, was slightly confused also, so wanted to clarify that.
So the question that is, am I expecting 1300 or 1000 in the long run? So it really depends. Like I think the question which was asked earlier, if you're operating legacy mines versus auction mines, so I think the answer just really depends on all those things. I think in the next call we'll be in a better position to answer. I mean, ideally in the steady state, I think all the cement companies should be earning 1200 given the investment that we make. But I think for our case, depending on the legacy mine, we'll be able to better explain what we're expecting in the next one.
So just want to clarify, so your earlier guidance which when I interviewed you and which you gave of 1300 to 1500 EBITDA per ton on a sustainable basis for Star Cement as a whole, that holds on, right? Malab, that is your expectation as of now. Just wanted to confirm that.
Yeah. I mean, if you're talking about Rajasthan or are we talking about North?
Overall, I'm saying Star Cement as a whole. The question was asked to you was what was the dilution you were expecting by profitability once you enter the new markets? And that time you answered that 1300 to 1500.
Yeah, I think, going in the future, I think we do expect like 1300 to 1400 to be the range for Star Cement. So specifically for North, I thought you were asking specifically for North.
I was asking after the North, so if you are saying North is 1100 rupees EBITDA per ton, so broadly your guidance of 1300 to 1500 holds on or that is kind of
tapering off? Hold on broadly.
Okay, that's what my question was. Thanks a lot, Tushar. And on behalf of PhillipCapital India Private Limited, I'd like to thank the management for the call and also many thanks for participating in the call. Thank you very much, sir. You may now conclude the call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. With that, we conclude today's conference. Thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect your lines.